It's time for light that darkness can't defeat. It's time to escape from the shadow of death and into abundant life. For the people living in darkness have seen a great light, and those living in the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Welcome to the Great Light Program with David Oyedepo Jr. Get set to arise and shine, because your light has come.
Vital keys to unlocking the supernatural. We discovered in our adventure this month that the supernatural is operated by certain vital keys. And we'll be looking at a number of those keys all through this month. Among them, we have seen that a proven new birth experience is vital, unshakable faith in God and His Word, and undying commitment to serve His kingdom. But today we shall be looking specifically at these three important keys that will help you and I to command the supernatural continuously. Number one is, to unlock the supernatural, one must be committed to a lifestyle of prayer and fasting. One must be committed to a lifestyle of prayer and fasting. In the book of Luke chapter 4 verse 14, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. Where was he returning from? He returned from the mountain of prayer and fasting. Every commitment to prayer and fasting, not as a seasonal adventure, but as a continuous lifestyle, positions you and I for a life of supernatural dominion. In the book of Matthew chapter 6 verse 17 and 18, he said, "Thou when thou fastest," so fasting is to be a continuous regimen in the life of the believer. "Thou when thou," not if thou, but when thou fastest. So fasting is part of the regiment of the lifestyle of the believer. And the question is, why? What does fasting do? What does prayer and fasting do for you and I that positions us for the supernatural? Number one, we see that prayer and fasting empowers us spiritually. It is the platform for spiritual empowerment. In the book of Isaiah chapter 58 verse 6, it said there, "Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke." What is responsible for the loosening of the bands of wickedness, for the taking off of heavy burdens, for the breaking of every yoke? Is the anointing on the power of God. Isaiah 10 verse 27, he said, "In that day shall the burden be taken off your shoulder, and the yoke from off your neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing." So the anointing of the Holy Spirit, or the empowerment of the Spirit of God, is what breaks yokes, loses bodies, and breaks the bands of wickedness. And the Bible shows us here that you and I can only go from one level of power or anointing to another by prayer and fasting. The disciples, at a point, Jesus went to the mountain to pray in Matthew chapter 17, and they brought to them a young boy who was possessed with a deaf and dumb spirit. And the Bible said that Jesus descended from the mountain and met them, the people contending with them. And they said, "What are you contending with them for?" He said, "Master, we brought this boy to your disciples to heal him, and they could not." Not that they would not, but they could not. Could not means they tried and failed. And Jesus looked at the boy, and with one word, the demon came out. And they came back to him and said, "Master, why could we not cast this devil out?" Jesus said, "Because of your unbelief." And he said, "But this kind goeth not but by prayer and fasting." You see, for everyone that will command the supernatural, we must understand the demand of prayer and fasting. "This kind goeth not but by prayer and fasting." So our commitment to the altar of prayer and fasting brings us to the realms of empowerment required for us to see dominion in all areas of life. In Psalm chapter 63 verse 1 and 2, the Bible said, "O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsts for thee, my flesh longeth for thee, in a dry and a thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory as I have seen it in the sanctuary." So it takes prayer and fasting to enjoy empowerment. To enjoy empowerment. It takes prayer and fasting to enjoy empowerment. So the power content of every believer is at the mercy of their commitment to prayer and fasting. Shout hallelujah. I say shout hallelujah. In the military, they have bullets that they call blank bullet. They use it for practice. They shoot, it will fire, but it cannot do any damage. It has no effect. It is called a blank bullet. But yet then they have what they call live rounds. When they put a live round into a gun, whatever that gun points at and shoots at will be affected negatively because of the live round inside of it. A prayerless Christian is a blank bullet shooting Christian. It will look at obstacles and fire, but no effect. But when you see a prayerful, fasting, filled believer, is loaded with live rounds. Anything he faces and contacts, that thing comes down on his behalf. For you, you shall become a live round shooting believer. Amen. Somebody believe it, say louder, amen. Amen. So prayer and fasting empowers the believer. But number two, it brings about the outbreak of revelation. The outburst of revelation. In Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 8, the Bible says to us there, it said, "Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy help shall spring forth speedily." So breaking forth of light is one of the effects of fasting. Breaking forth of light, you begin to have striking lights coming in your direction. And the greater the light, the farther the night. He said, "For he made two great lights." Genesis chapter 1 verse 16. He said, "One to rule the day and the other one to rule the night." When you have great light, you can't suffer night. And weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. It means you can never be a victim of weeping when you are operating in great light. And that great light comes for you and I as we engage committedly in prayer and fasting. So let us engage at the art of prayer and fasting as a lifestyle in order to see the outbreak of revelation. Remember, it said the light shineth in darkness and the darkness cannot comprehend it. You are unhandleable when you are operating by revelation. The enemy can do nothing with you when you are operating in revelation. God's servant, our Father, puts it this way. He said, "The dominion of light over darkness is instant and unquestionable." You can't put light on and then darkness is still confronting it. No. The appearance of light is the disappearance of darkness. For somebody here, by this encounter you are having this morning, as you get committed to a life of prayer, as you get committed to the practice of fasting, I see you becoming a shining light to your generation. Somebody believe me, say louder, amen. I said, somebody believe me, say louder, amen. Somebody believe me, say the loudest, amen. Revelation will always put you and I in dominion over the circumstances of life. So we said number one thing we discover is that to unlock the supernatural, we must be committed to a lifestyle of prayer and fasting, and this will empower us and bring about the outbreak of revelation for the command of the supernatural. Number two thing we discover is that to unlock the supernatural, one must be committed to engaging biblical mentality. To unlock the supernatural, one must be committed to engaging biblical mentality. The Bible makes us to understand in Proverbs 23 and verse 7, it said, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." Genesis 11 and verse 6, he said, "Nothing shall be restrained from them which they have imagined to do." Your thinking determines your living. Your mentality determines your reality. So for you and I to enjoy the supernatural, we must change the frequency of our thinking. For example, the scripture makes us to understand that we must possess a royal mentality. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 10. He has redeemed us unto our God and made us kings and priests to reign on the earth. Jesus is called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The reigning one. The one who is ruling by power. And you and I are joint heirs with him. For as the Father has sent him, so has he sent us. So we also are ordained to be lions, ruling in power on the earth. Remember, the Bible makes it clear in the book of Proverbs, chapter 30, verse 30, concerning the lion, what is his character? He said, the lion which is strongest among beasts and turneth not away from any. The strength of a lion is not in his size. The strength of a lion is not in his muscle. The strength of a lion is not in his look. The strength of a lion is in his heart. He said, it turneth not away from any. You see, a lion will look at a giraffe. A giraffe is as high many times as 3 or 4 story buildings in height. And the lion will attack the giraffe. It is bigger than it, but the heart of the lion is bigger than the giraffe. You see, a lion will look at an elephant and go against an elephant. An elephant is like a moving truck. But yet the heart of the lion is bigger than the elephant. If you and I can really see what redemption has made us, we will have nothing to fear. We will operate with this royal mentality that rules by power and authority. I see that becoming our experience in the name of Jesus Christ. Paul the apostle was a man like that. In Acts chapter 14 and verse 3, the Bible says to us there, he said, for a long time about this, speaking boldly in the Lord. He said, who gave testimony to the word of his grace and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hand. They spoke boldly. They spoke boldly. God, Son, and our Father shared the testimony of one of us who came to meet with him and said to him, my sister has been kidnapped. And he said to her, he said, now listen, within 7 hours, she's returned unhurt. And with faith in her heart, she took her phone and sent a text message to the kidnappers. Bishop Oyedepo has said within 7 hours, she must be returned unhurt. And the head of the kidnapper said, I don't want Bishop Oyedepo's trouble at all. I don't want his trouble at all. I don't want his trouble at all. And a fight ensued among all the kidnappers. They started cutting themselves with cutlass. And at the end, released this daughter of Zion 3 minutes before 7 hours. For where the word of a king is, there is power. Where the word of a king is, there is power. There is power. So you and I must recognize that by redemption, we are made kings and priests for the purpose of reigning on the earth. We must operate with a dominion mentality because that is what Christ has made us. Shout hallelujah. I said shout hallelujah. I said shout hallelujah. We must operate with a dominion mentality because all of these things start from the mind. He said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Many times we are betrayed by what we say because of what we think. What we think is what informs what we say. If you think well, you will speak well. So we must understand that we have a responsibility to guard our heart. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, guard your heart with all diligence. It said, because out of it are the issues of life. Another version says the forces of life. Everything that will inform how we live is provoked from our heart. So we must protect our heart. We must guard what we think. We must orient our heart with the word of God. Romans chapter 12 verse 2. He said, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't think like the world. The world will say all manner of things, but refuse to be classified with them. The Bible makes it very clear to us that we can be transformed by the way that we think. I see each one of us thinking from this day in line with the word of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Somebody believe me, say a louder amen. I said somebody believe me, say a louder amen. Somebody believe me, say the loudest amen. Number three, to unlock the supernatural, one must be committed to serving God and the interest of his kingdom. If you want to see the supernatural manifested in your life, be committed to serving God and the interest of his kingdom. Remember Matthew 6:33, the word for the hour. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things that others are running helter-skelter to get, it shall be added unto you. In other words, no struggle, no difficulty, no frustration, no stagnation. Everything just coming on its own accord in your direction. I see that becoming somebody's experience. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Daniel chapter 3 verse 24 to 28, we came across these three Hebrew boys, these individuals that got themselves sold out to serving God. And the scripture makes us understand they were thrown in the furnace of fire. And suddenly, they saw that in the furnace of fire, instead of three men, there were four there. And each one moving loose in it. And Nebuchadnezzar the king called for them. He said, ye servants of God, come out of the fire. And they came out of this fire. And these men looked at these individuals who the fire had no power over. When you are serving God, you are in partnership with God. And you can't be in partnership with God and not be a partaker of the very manifestations of God. The supernatural is simply God manifesting. And God manifests naturally for everyone that is partnering with him. Remember what the Bible says? It said they went everywhere preaching, the Lord walking with them, confirming the word with signs following. Anytime you see a person who is truly serving God, God is never absent from him. God is never absent from him. They went everywhere. Mark 16 and verse 20, preaching. And the Lord was walking with them. He was there with them, confirming the word with signs following. The Bible also makes us to understand, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He said, and baptize many. He said, and as you do so, I am with you even to the end of the world. So there is a promise from God that everyone who is actively serving him naturally partners with him. And those who partner with God are natural commanders of the supernatural. You see them commanding the supernatural with ease. Therefore, in this season, as each one of us committedly and continuously serves God, particularly in Operation Run, expect to see your life take a supernatural leap in the name of Jesus Christ. That means that everything around you from this season forward shall simply be supernatural. I said it shall simply be supernatural. It shall simply be supernatural. It shall simply be supernatural. Somebody believe me, say loud amen. I said somebody believe me, say loud amen. So serving God commits him to confirm his word in our lives with miracles, signs, and wonders. And this includes the heritage of fruitfulness that God has in store for every child of God. It commits him to confirm his word in our lives with signs, with wonders, with miracles, including that of fruitfulness. We had some outstanding testimonies that were shared. Some of the testimonies we have seen read today and the ones that have been shared live in the services, they are just practical proofs of the fact that God confirms his word in the direction of everyone truly committed to serving him. God confirms his word. And I see the Lord confirming his word concerning you in the name of Jesus Christ. Today is our covenant day of fruitfulness. God has brought us here, among other things, for the purpose of establishing our heritage of fruitfulness. I'd like us to understand a few things quickly from the word of God. Remember, it was through the word that God spoke the worlds into existence. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3. He said, by faith we understand
that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which do appear were made out of things that do not appear. The worlds, not just the world, not just the earth, but the worlds were framed. In other words, the earth, the moon, the sun, all the planets, the various galaxies, every one of them had their source in the word. By the word, God said in Genesis chapter 1 verse 3, let there be light. From that day, the sun has never been able to go out. Light has remained on the earth. You see, when man says there will be light, sometimes there is no light. True of us? On the earth, for example, you see that power companies may cease light because they are unable to produce adequate light. But when God created the earth at the beginning till today, the original light producer has never seen light go out once. By a word he spoke it. It was that same word that he used to say, be fruitful. He said it to two people, and today there are 7 billion people on the earth from that word. I'd like you to understand that that word is concerning you also. That means that there is no devil, no necromancer, no witch, no diviner that has the capacity to overturn what God has said. Let God be true, let every devil be a liar. Let God be true, let every doctor be a liar. Let God be true, let every witch doctor be a liar. Let God be true, let every occultic man be a liar. Please hear this. No matter what your case has been called, today it is overturned. One of us, after we said that they got married 10 years ago, began looking forward to the fruit of the womb, but nothing seemed to be coming forward. Was shared in the second service. And suddenly, she said to the husband, look, I need to go and see a doctor. And began to go to various, you know, hospital appointments. And from one verdict to the other, first of all, you are not ovulating. They gave her medication. Second of all, you are ovulating, but the eggs you are ovulating with, the eggs you are producing are too small. They cannot be fertilized. I believe after the eggs have now grown to be fertilizable, they now said to her, well, now your womb, I think, is too hostile for it to host anything. At the end of all the discussion, they simply closed her file and put in unexplained infertility. That is, we have reached the point of confusion. We have reached the point of confusion. We have adjusted all adjustables. We have manipulated all manipulatables. And somehow, after we have tried, it has not worked. So we simply tagged it unexplained infertility. But when you reach a medical confusion, God comes to miracle precision. And suddenly, they turned and faced God, the one who originated the fabrication of humanity, the original factory from which men are made. And suddenly, after 10 years, they stood here upon this exalted altar, carrying their miracle baby in their hand. And I love what she said. He said, God has given us our first son, which means the next one is coming, and the one after that is coming. For somebody here, I don't know what the medical verdict may be, but I know that you have come to the God with whom all things are possible. Therefore, your case is turned to a miracle today. Your case is turned to a miracle today. Your case is turned to a miracle today. In the name of Jesus Christ. But what must I do to become supernaturally fruitful? What must I do? And remember, fruitfulness is not just fruitfulness of the body. It affects every area of life. Fruitfulness in your career, meaning things going forward. Fruitfulness in your business, meaning things just expanding and exploding. Fruitfulness in your academics, meaning continuous excellence and distinction. Fruitfulness in every department of life. But what must I do to be supernaturally fruitful? Number one, become a covenant child. Become a covenant child. The Bible says in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 14, it says there, thou shalt be blessed above all people. So there are some people, these are covenant children, that are blessed above all people. And included in that blessing, he said, there shall not be male or female barren among you or among your cattle. The cattle talked about their endeavors. The male or female talks about their physical fruitfulness. So God says, according to his word, that for covenant people, those who are separated to him, those who are his children, those who are identified with him, he said, you shall be blessed above all people. So no matter what is happening to all others, he said, your own case shall be different. There shall not be male or female, whether they call it low sperm count or polycystic ovaries, whether they call them blocked fallopian tubes or no sperm count, no matter what it is called, whether it is with male or female, God said it is minus you. So everyone that is a covenant child of God is exempted from the verdict of barrenness, whether it is physical or in other departments of life. Shout hallelujah. Is somebody getting it now? So by redemption, when you become a covenant child of God, one who is aligned with God, separated to God, identified with God, you are exempted from the verdict of barrenness. Number two, be spiritual. Be spiritual. To be spiritually minded is life and peace, but to be carnally minded is death. Romans chapter 8 and verse 6. In Psalm chapter 1 verse 2 and 3, he said, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. His leaf, he said, shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. His leaf shall not wither. He said, and whatsoever he doeth, it shall prosper. He's fruitful on every side because he's spiritual. Please, let's be spiritual. Don't mix God with anything. Let it be God and God alone. Be spiritual. We must get committed to spirituality, standing with God, identifying with him and with him alone. Shout hallelujah. I said shout hallelujah. We must be spiritual. Number three, be committed to serving God. You can't be committed to serving God and not be fruitful. Be committed to serving God. He said, thou shalt serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water. He will take sickness away from the midst of thee. He said, there shall nothing cast their young nor be barren in the land. That is no miscarriage and no barrenness. No miscarriage and no barrenness. Because for some individuals, the devil will try to attack the seed. But God said those who are serving him, he said they will not miscarry, and neither will they be barren. They will not bring forth for trouble, no stillbirth, no miscarried children, and yet not one of them shall be barren. So serving God brings us to a place of guaranteed fruitfulness. We enforce our redemptive right for fruitfulness by serving God. In the book of Psalm 127 and verse 3, Psalm 127 and verse 3, he said to us there, Lord, children are the heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. And God rewards laborers. So everyone that is actively laboring positions themselves for supernatural fruitfulness. Everyone actively laboring positions themselves for supernatural fruitfulness. Supernatural fruitfulness. So we must recognize the necessity of active labor in the kingdom of God. And finally, number four, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Until your countenance changes, your situation may not change. In 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 18, the Bible tells us there, he said, and she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance, speaking of Hannah, was no more sad. It takes a changing of countenance to bring the change of situation. Count it all joy. Rejoice evermore. He said, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. We must continue to display the disposition of joy. Display the disposition of joy. One of the things that you see that the devil tries to plant as a seed in the life of many is the countenance of sadness. Particularly when it comes to the issue of fruitfulness, you find the devil trying to dampen the spirit of people. He wants to make them sad. He wants to make them down. Because he recognizes that according to scriptures, Joel chapter 1 verse 11 and verse 12, all the harvest of the field has perished because joy withered from the heart of man. Don't let anything tamper with your joy. Everywhere you go, wear broad smiles. Let everybody see the joy of God oozing out of you at all times. Be relaxed, be joyful, be light, be excited. And when you are praying like that, I tell you, you are positioning yourself for God to establish the testimony of fruitfulness in your life. In the book of Psalm chapter 67 verse 5 down to verse 7, he said, let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. He said, then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. In other words, every time you are ever joyful, ever praiseful, you are positioning yourself to remain ever fruitful. I see each one of us remaining ever fruitful in the name of Jesus. I said, I see each one of us remaining ever fruitful in the name of Jesus. So as you are serving God, as you are going about the business, ensure that every single day you are displaying the disposition of joy. Why? He said, because they serve not the Lord their God with joyfulness and gladness. He said, they will serve their enemies, but God forbid. Say with me, God forbid. So we must position ourselves with joy in our heart. Everywhere we go, wear broad smiles. You are going out winning souls, make sure that the smile of one who is made joyful from above is expressed on your face. We must continue to maintain a countenance of joy. That is the key to the turning of our captivity. Shout hallelujah. I said shout hallelujah. I said shout hallelujah. I like us therefore this morning to have the very secured assurance that you have a right to be fruitful in redemption. And that right, God has determined to establish it in your life today. And that means that for every single one under the sound of my voice, just like God said to creation at the beginning, from this season onwards, you shall be fruitful. I said, you shall be fruitful. I said, you shall be fruitful. In the name of Jesus Christ. I'd like us to remember this very important statement. One of us who shared a testimony in the second service mentioned this. Said last year at the covenant day of fruitfulness in August, she heard God's servant make this statement. Our father is the baby maker. We are not permitted to be baby beggars. Our father is the baby maker. He said, for we have not made ourselves, but he has made us. He's the baby maker. We are not permitted, therefore, to be baby beggars. Today, an end comes to every begging for children in the name of Jesus. You are departing this place with the testimony of your fruitfulness. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like us to just quickly, today is an anointing service, we must be reminded fundamentally of what is in the oil for you and for me. What is in the anointing oil for you and for me. I like us to recognize that according to scriptures, the spirit of God that destroys yokes is in the oil. The spirit of God. 1 Samuel chapter 16 verse 13, David was anointed with oil, and the spirit of the Lord came upon him from that day forward. The spirit of God, which is the yoke destroyer, is in the oil. So as you are going to be anointed, the spirit of God shall come upon you, and every yoke which includes curses, spells, and enchantment shall be destroyed in the name of Jesus. Number two, the healing power of God is in the oil. The healing power of God is in the oil. In Mark chapter 6 verse 7, Jesus sent his disciples out, and he said there, he gave them power over unclean spirits. And verse 11 to verse 13, we are told there, he said they went out and preached that men should repent. And he said they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. The power he gave them was the oil. So the oil carries the healing power of God in it. I see healings taking place in the name of Jesus. Number three, the breakthrough power of God is in the oil. After David was anointed in 1 Samuel chapter 16 verse 13, suddenly everything about his life changed. The one who was the forgotten child in the wilderness was suddenly noticed in the palace. We see that in verse 18. And 1 Samuel chapter 17 verse 35 to 57, he became the champion of Israel, destroying the giant called Goliath. By chapter 18, he became the war general in charge of Israel's army. A young man whose story was dramatically changed by one encounter. For somebody here today, as the oil comes upon your life today, I see your life dramatically change. From where you least expect, you shall be called for. I said, from where you least expect, you shall be called for. There is no story that is beyond change. We had a testimony last week. Somebody, after 20 years of being let go from a place, was called back. The salaries of 20 years paid, promotions of 20 years given. Because there is no story that God cannot change. From the places you least expect, you shall be called for. I said, from the places you least expect, you shall be called for. In the name of Jesus Christ. Breakthrough. That's what it's called. And today, that will become your portion. One of the testimonies read to us today in this service, somebody believing God for the fruit of the womb and seemed like nothing happened, and suddenly with one encounter, first one, twins, second one, twins. I, who they never thought would carry a child, have now become the mother of four children. There are people under the sound of my voice, you will surprise your world. I said you will surprise your world. The things that nobody ever thought could come out of you. They said, what good can come out of Nazareth? The things nobody ever thought will ever come out of you will come out as a surprise to your world. In the name of Jesus Christ. Well, whatever represents barrenness, physical, spiritual, in business, in career, in academics, whatever department of life, whatever represents it, today marks the termination point. You shall never be called barren again. I say you shall never be called barren again. You shall never be called barren again. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The scripture says something about Elizabeth in Luke chapter 1 verse 36 and 37. It said there concerning her, he said, behold thy cousin Elizabeth, she also has conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was no more, was called barren. He said, and for with God nothing shall be impossible. This is the sixth month with her that was. What a joy that we're in the sixth month. That means that that identity is past tense for you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lift your hand to heaven and give God thanks. Father, we thank you for your word. Blessed be your holy name. Glory to the Lamb. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed.
Someone's knocking at the door. Someone's knocking at the door. Can you hear him knocking? Can you hear him knocking? Jesus. is at the door.
Say after me, Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I know that I'm a sinner, but I know you died for me. And on the third day you rose again. Jesus, come into my life. Be my Lord and Savior. Take control of me from this day forward. Now I know that I am born again. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Now I pray for you, Father. I thank you today for these precious ones you have drawn into your kingdom. Let the grace that has brought them keep them in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, for each one of them, we decree today that the barriers against their life and destiny be broken in the name of Jesus. Grace to walk with you all the days of their lives. Release it upon them. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. Somebody believe, say a loud amen.
If you have just received Christ as your Lord and Savior, or are blessed through this broadcast, we would love to hear from you. For inquiries and testimonies, send an email to info@tglmedia.org. We also invite you to visit one of our Winners Chapel churches near you anywhere around the world. Until next time, keep walking in the great light.